Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
All right, Spinderella, welcome to the show. You know, it's so crazy. In the years that I've had the show for 4 years now, this is your first time, which is crazy.
I know. It's I don't get caught up in any mess. That's why. I'm not normally caught up in any mess, or at least I try to avoid, you know, that stuff that goes on in these artists' life, but looks like I'm kind of caught up in some things right now.
I mean, your name is in the streets. Everybody is asking where Spinderella, and we're going to get into all that. And I just want people to know, and let me just be very clear, before there was a Hollywood Unlock, before there was a Jason Lee everybody knew, Spinderella was actually one of my first friends when I first moved to LA. I was still working at the Union. And I remember I had a 29th, I think it was my 29th birthday party. Has it been that long? Maybe about 30th birthday. I can't remember. It's been like 13, 14 years. You DJed my party. Yeah. And one thing that I remember is, well, two things. One, I had a great time. And two, you got me so drunk off of those damn drinks. What were the drinks?
Lemon drops, boo.
I can't even drink a lemon drop now because of you. I didn't even make it home that night. But yeah, I remember you got me that drink. And I got so lit.
Yeah, that was our drink of choice back then when we got around each other. It was good times though. Yeah.
And so you left LA, went to Dallas, and just mm-hmm. never came back. You don't miss us out here?
Hell yeah. I miss LA. I miss my friends. Of course, you know, Kalima, my best friend, she passed 3 years ago. I terribly miss it. I miss hanging out. And LA was just like it was a great place for me to grow and to get the hell away from New York. How about that?
And so Dallas, so Texas, I recently went to Texas. You came and visited me on my book stop. The men and the energy in Dallas is very different than LA and New York. Like, I feel like it's a lot of love out there. And I know that you found love and now are engaged. You just went out there and said, I'm just going to glow up, get my whole married life together. And Is it just different out there dating?
Yeah, it's that Southern hospitality. You know, the Southern man, oh my God, they're just so hospitable. And I mean, for what I know, I'm sure there's women that might say differently, but I found my love. Yeah, I wasn't looking for it. My fiance, we're getting married in May. And we were supposed to get married last year, but of course, due to COVID, we had to, you know, postpone the wedding. But I'm gearing up for that now. But yeah, the men out here, it's sexy. I'll say that.
So how did you and your fiance meet? Because I know we've never talked about that, but I know he's in nightlife, right? I mean, he's out there in the streets.
Yeah, he's a comedian. He's a producer of a comedy series. He's a promoter here as well. And so he gives events and comedy shows here. I met him. He wanted me to do a party for him. And, you know, we kind of got together in that sense. I would see him. Well, actually, I knew him from Twitter at the time. And I followed him. But he hit me in the DMs and was like, can I do a party for him? And we worked that out, let's just say.
And now you're paying with it for your life. I mean, because now you guys are getting together and creating a life together.
Yes, it's beautiful. That's the sunshine of my life. He keeps me smiling. It's good to have that comedy aspect. in your life. You need somebody that really, Jason, I know you've been looking for love too. I've been following you. Make sure you find someone that is fun, not no hardcore, dreary ass, like, you know, just everything is too freaking serious. You need to have fun. But yeah, I found that.
Is that what attracted you to him? Is that what attracted you to him? That he was funny, that there was life, that, you know, because sometimes, especially right now during COVID, a lot of people are trying to figure out how to date in the middle of a pandemic where everybody around you seems to be dying and life is just, you know, always constantly a lot. Was that like a light for you to be able to have somebody that gave you that laughter?
I believe so. I was a DJ for the Shaq All-Star Comedy Tour, and I was around comedy all the time for that tour. And so I vowed to myself that I would keep comedy in my life. But it was so funny. I was doing, when I got to Dallas and I met him, you know, I didn't know that he was, you know, I really didn't know the scene, the comedy scene here in Dallas. So I was introduced to it through him. And now we are, we produce comedy shows together, and I have my own Spinderella Comedy Jam. So I got a show coming up next month with this team of comedians called the Rat Packs, which he's a part of, that I'm a co-producer on. So yeah, I keep comedy around my life because I just have to. I need to laugh.
Well, speaking of comedy, recently me and you were on Clubhouse and we were chatting it up with the fans, and we got to talking about doing a really dope moment for people where we could give fans access to their favorite stars to judge, like to do a talent show. And you participated, me, you, Tiffany Haddish, Fat Joe, and Neo. And Katakio, who won, was recently on the show. What did you think about that? What did you think about how we were able to create a whole ass talent show for people to like log in and figure out how to get seen?
Well, that was a proud moment for me, just being able to be a part of your vision and helping someone come across, you know, like cross over where more people would be introduced to that talent. I was happy to be a part of it. We discovered a lot of talent in that room, but she was definitely clearly the winner. And I think we made a great choice.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, she beat the guy that I wanted to win. I was going for the
hospital. Okay. Well, I really liked her.
God told me to cheat, but I was outnumbered by the judges and she won.
But it was cool. Yeah, I mean, well, sometimes the one in the second position does get that light and is able to outshine. They get the opportunities as well. So because you're not in the first position does not mean that you won't get the opportunities. People are still watching. And talent is talent. So.
All right. So one thing I know about you, and you started by saying that you're typically not in any mess, but for some reason, I feel like you're in the middle of mess that you may not have necessarily created, because as you know, the Salt and Pepper documentary is out on Lifetime and a lot of people are watching it, but I'm sure you have not. You're not in there. You're not mentioned in the press. I know that they recently did an interview where they were questioned about that on The Breakfast Club, and they said that they were not allowed to speak your name, but that came by way of the lawsuits. There's a lot to unpack here. The first thing I want to ask you is, have you seen the Salt and Pepper doc?
No, I haven't. I have not seen it. I stand by my statement. I will not support something that does not support me. Mm-hmm. And I was a part of the brand, and I was a part of building the brand, and I have every right to not support it because of the fact that it didn't support me. And people should know that that was a dream of all of ours. And that was discussed. We discussed a movie of our life back in the 90s. And we've always talked about, we had big dreams for everything. We had dreams for the Vegas show, the Vegas Review. We got that. We were definitely, our dreams were coming true. But it seemed like when those things would come true, or come to fruition, I would be left out of it. but I helped to build it. So yes, I had, you know, no, I was just, it was, for me, it was very disappointing.
Okay, so let's go back. When did the relationship start to fall apart? Because I remember, I mean, you met the girls back in what, 1986? Is that when you met them and then joined the group? Okay, so 1987, you meet them. You guys, the three of you, become a part of hip-hop history where, you know, the three of you were one of the, I think, were you the first female hip-hop group?
No. Definitely not. There was a group, I mean, they had the Mercedes ladies from the 70s. They had Us Girls. They had Sequence.
But you were the first all-female hip-hop group to reach that level of success right out the gate, right?
Yes. This was, I mean, it was, for me, when I was brought into the group, I was told what my role was, and that was I would be DJing for this group. And Herbie, who brought me in, his intentions, because I asked him again, what was your intentions for me? He said, I wanted Run DMC and Jam Master J. I wanted Houdini. In my head, that's a group. So filling those holes in and doing what needed to be done to make that happen, the work that it takes to get to that kind of a status of Run DMC, it takes those elements. So I went into the group under the premise that I would be joining a group to take it to the top, to the Run DMCs and to the Houdinis. And we did just that.
And so were you, so when you joined the group in the 80s and 90s, if I could recall, I mean, you were as much a part of the group as they were, right? I mean, at first when they started to rap, when the girls first started to rap, you weren't rapping, but then later on you did start to rap and write, correct?
I rapped, I produced, I danced, I interviewed, I took pictures, I did all the things that it would take to build the brand. Right there with them.
And so at what point did it go from you're a part of the group to you no longer need to show up? I mean, when did that change happen? How did it happen?
Herbie was the creator, and he was the one who brought this together. And he was the one that brought me in with the original intention. And I don't think Salt and Pepper adopted Herbie's intention. I think once Herbie left the picture, they began to feel that, okay, it is what it is. And now, you know, this it's almost like they inherited, I mean, this is just my speculation. They inherited Herbie's situation. Because at some point Herbie was in and then Herbie was out. And you know, he's the creator.
Right, but when you put the group together and you guys were doing your thing for the world to see, it is this. It's like it's the brand. It is what we know. When did it change? Like when Herbie was out, was there a meeting where they said, "Look, we don't want to go in this direction anymore. We're going in a different direction."
No, they did. I've had a couple of conversations where Salt had said, "You know, you're just the DJ." But here's my confusion, and I can see where everybody else is confused. If I'm just the DJ, why am I building this brand? Why am I working like you are? If I'm just a DJ, I'm on the stage just DJing. There was a whole lot more work other than just DJing and building this brand. You don't just come out the studio, have a record, and it becomes a hit. It's a building, you have to build, it's a process that builds that hit. And we've had quite a few. So I think her intentions and her actions was two different things. Their intentions and their actions were two different things. And I was living under the premise of what I was originally told when I was brought in. I lived up to that. And if the other problem is a contract. No, there was never a contract.
Between you and them?
Yeah. There was never a contract. And when I wised up and wanted a contract, that was a threat. They felt that was a threat to them somehow, especially if I opened my mouth about, you know, divvying this up right. I wanted it to be a third for sure. But if it wasn't going to be a third, we need to justify my
the amount of time that you're investing in it.
Yes, my investment, my equity. We need to justify that. And on the outro of all of this, my goal, and for years I had been wanting to define my role, but bringing it up would just be, it was a headache for them.
But why was it a headache? Because they were selfish and didn't want to share? Was it a headache because they felt like you were out of place for even thinking you deserved it? Where was it a headache?
Yeah, from what I'm gathering, they think I'm out of place for asking for anything that I deserve. But they're not looking back. I don't think they're seeing. I don't know if you guys have seen the clip that's been going around. There's a lot of clips that are coming out that we actually discussed that, like. You haven't seen the work that I've done? How could you not see it? How could you not see the songs that I'm on? People think that I'm on What a Man. I am on 15 songs. 15 songs. Three of them our hits. Mm-hmm. I've produced minimally, but I have produced. I have written minimally, but it's for, I mean, on our most successful album. Very necessary. So I can't see how they don't see that, but there is a lot of confusion that I had, and I would ask those questions. And when I would ask, as people know, diehard fans that have been around and have seen those old shows, like the old Salt and Pepper show, I asked then. I definitely would use the opportunity to ask, you know, when I felt it was right. And then when it came to doing contracts and stuff, I asked to be separate. I'm like, let's do this separate. Like, so I can handle my own business. You guys, if you want to separate this thing, let's do that. Whatever it's going to take, let's do it. Because I needed to.
What you were asking for was like, let's just clarify the business. Like, let's call it what it is. Let's spell it out. Let's formalize the work.
Asking that. Yes. Yes.
And that was just, that was just met with resistance. No,
it was met with the fact of what you said. They just did not see the worth of doing that. How do you not see the worth? Because they don't even see me like, they don't see me as a relevant, important, integral part of this brand, and that's crazy to me.
But the part that's crazy for me is how don't they see it when the fans do? I mean, Wendy Williams just recently talked about on her show, and she said, for me, if it's not the three, it doesn't make sense. So how is it that they were unable to see what everybody in the culture saw?
If you can get that answer out of them, please do. I've been trying to tell them this. This is not good, y'all. I've been trying to tell them this. I've been trying to tell the managers that would come through. We've had various managers. I would try to tell them, let's figure out how we're going to do and break down Spinderella. Because this day that has come, that's not something I wanted to happen. I was all in. I never wanted this to go down this way, but I knew it would, because how you gonna use me and not pay me? The other thing is, they basically said I was an employee and a DJ for hire, but they never paid me for none of those appearances and none of those photo sessions and none of those appearances on those albums and studio times and countless hours of interviews and building this brand. There's employees got paid. Was I your little slave girl? Like, this is really intense, because I grew up and I figured it out. And when I started to mention it, it was a threat to them. You see how they're reacting right now. Mm-hmm.
And so when you When was the moment when you realized that your value wasn't being compensated? Because there had to be, because it seems like when you first got in the group, you were excited to be a part of it. You three of you had a vision for what it could become. What you said, you talked about the Vegas shows and this and the documentaries and all that. So you guys collectively had a vision for it. When did it start to dawn on you that you were being used?
Oh my God. I would say the 90s. There was a complaint that was documented on the Behind the Music that was done in the late 90s. And I exposed that because I just couldn't put my finger on what it was. And imagine being kept out of the boardroom or being kept away from negotiations that have to do with you. And you have to figure those things out. Mm-hmm. I felt that back then, but I kept going because I needed to be 100% concrete on what was going on. Like what was happening, how they were handling the business, and also how I was involved and how they saw me and how they were going to do it. I always knew there was something there and I had to put my finger on it, but it wasn't until I would say this last run with them, which was 2013, 2014 on, we had come back together again. And I knew there was something there, but I just bypassed it because I'm like, look, this is the vehicle that we built together. And there's opportunity for us to figure it out. And maybe we'll figure it out along the way. I'm not going to trip. I'm going to get back in and we're going to figure it out. And I was telling Peppa that. I was like, when can we talk about this? It was always a threat. It was always a threat. And I got to a point, thankfully, that, and it happened during the show, during the Ladies Night show on BT, that I was completely just, if they're not going to talk to me, then this is definitely going to be a wrap. Like, we have to talk. So you saw me on that show, ask them in front of the cameras, can we please have a mediator? Can we please sort this out? Can we please figure out how to dissect this properly? That's beneficial for all of us and the fans. And their response, I don't know if you saw it, but you can YouTube it. Their response was no. We're not sitting down with a mediator. We don't need to rehash anything because this is what it is. It's what it's going to be. They said that. And that's when you saw me get up and walk away. I walked away. I didn't quit. I walked away from that conversation broken and again, and let down and not sure what was going to come of it. But knowing that we still had a lot of equity here. And it was important to nurture it for me. I just needed to have that sit down and they refused it. So
were the fans ever thought about during this whole, cause you guys are so legendary to so many people around the world and you have fans in every country, women in hip hop, men in hip hop, you know, look to Salt and Peppa and your group as just larger than life because of your contribution to the culture. Were the fans ever thought about during this whole process from them?
I can't speak for them, but it doesn't look like it. It looks like they, for an example of that is when we did part ways, when they did terminate me, I should say, I waited for them to make a statement. And they hadn't, they wouldn't. I felt it was owed to the fans to know that, to know the truth so that, you know, they can know. What they did do was continue on using the images of me after the termination to sell tickets. So there was no, that was the reason for me to go forth with filing a lawsuit because not only was it unfair to me, but it was unfair to the public. And I just think that was unnecessary. I felt like it should have been, the fans were asking me what was happening. I put the statements out. They
let's talk about the lawsuit. So August 2019, you filed the lawsuit. This was around the time where this was from the removal of the New Kids on the Block tour, right? So when you filed the lawsuit, it was because they hadn't paid you for money that they owed you?
Yeah. Monies from a prior project. I can't really disclose a lot about this because it is, it's meant to be confidential, but I had every right to file that claim. And in the end, it was a settlement.
Mm. And so part of that settlement, you can't talk about it, right?
No.
But were you saddened the fact that you had invested your whole life into something that you then had to go and fight for? Like you had to fight for being paid what you felt was just due, given that you had invested so much of your life in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fight. It was an unnecessary fight. Let me just say this. I had love for my group. I had love for them. I had love for the legacy. And there was a purpose when the seed was planted, when they brought me in, there was a seed planted in me. And I saw to it that this would be nurtured. And I did my part. I did my part. They refused to acknowledge that. That's crazy to me.
Do you think they were jealous?
I don't know. I don't know. I asked myself. I don't know. I can't speculate you guys can tell me. What do y'all think? Because I cannot tell you.
You talked to them. So I don't, I mean, you before, I mean, I don't know if you all talked now, but you talked to them. What would they say? I mean, I'm just so confused. And it sounds like you're confused too.
Babe, there was nothing that warranted anything of that turnout. Nothing. No action, no activity that I have done would warrant any of that vicious activity. I cannot believe it. I get that they feel that I am just a DJ. But not only is that an insult, what's wrong with a freaking DJ? What's wrong with being a DJ? The DJ is who got you in the door. That was a DJ that played your music. That got you in the door. But besides that, I don't know. You're asking me something I don't know.
And a DJ in that era was, like you said, Jam Master Jay, that was an integral part of the group. And
that's what,
I remember,
in my mind, I saw as a group. When Herbie said, my intention is to recreate a female version of Run DMC, I didn't say just Run and D. I mean, I didn't get him saying just Run and D. I immediately thought Run, D, and J, which is a triangle. It's a triangle, you know, triangle, whatever. And that was embedded in me. Now, Salt and Pepper's intentions was different somehow. And they acted accordingly to that difference. But, well, actually, they didn't act accordingly to that difference because they still used me. Other than if I was just a DJ, I would just be DJing. I would not be on your album cover. I would not be in the studio with you. I would not be in the on those promo tours. I wouldn't have to do all of that. I thought it was the opportunity. I loved it. I was like, yeah, let's do it. They gave me the schedule. They handed me the schedule. So there was me thinking, and with the talks that we've had along the years, like, you know, the payday is coming. This, you know, we're gonna like one day we'll do a movie. We actually talked about how that would go, like the two of them being born, the three of us, and then me coming in. And I mean, it was just an idea, or whatever, back then. But I really don't know. When I tell you I don't know, I don't know. But what I do know is their reaction and their the results And whether you considered me an employee, if you did that, you would have paid me as such. You would have paid me as an employee for all those hours. You didn't do that. If you considered me a work for hire or whatever, we can't say that that happened because I didn't get paid for those activities to build this brand. But it's a lot of years that have went by, and in the interim, I would ask for this to be defined, and it was like poking the bear.
So are you bitter at all? I mean, how do you not be upset or angry? Because I've never known you to be an angry person or bitter person, but why not? You're not bitter or angry?
I was very upset. This played out in different ways for me. As I definitely had depressions about it, bouts. I've had self-esteem issues. I had confidence issues. On this show that I did on OWN last year.
Love Goals.
Love Goals. I shared with the therapist Spirit what was happening with me. You know, you guys, if you saw that, you saw me having my voice issues. Like, I couldn't even speak. It was just...
Was it because it was chipping away at your confidence and your it was trickling now over into your relationship?
It was trickling into my relationship, and thankfully I had, you know, a great supporting partner, and, you know, he knew it was just hard. It was communication issues. It was a lot. Let me tell you what it does to you. It makes you feel less than a person. It makes you feel inferior. You have an inferior complex. You have confidence issues. You have low self-esteem. Never believing that I was good enough. Never, like, always having to prove, overprove, and never getting that acknowledgement. So yeah, those things those are the effects of that behavior. From there's no encouragement. When there's no encouragement, how do you expect the seed to grow? How do you plant a seed back in 87 and then not water it?
So going back to the girls, I mean, Salt is supposed to be a pastor. Peppa is Peppa. Those two had to get together and have a conversation, and you've been with them longer than anybody in the world because you know them, you're part of their world. Mm-hmm. Or you three of you shared a world together. Who's driving it? Somebody has to be driving it. Peppa, Salt, is it somebody behind the scenes, behind the group, attorneys, agents? Like, who do you think is driving this? Because what I find interesting is there was a period of time when you first started with the group where you were in the background with the music doing the DJing, and you, even though you were in all the visuals and all that, and then you came much further in the forefront, performing, writing, rapping. And I personally think that's because you were the fan favorite. I mean, fans were in love. I remember the era. Fans were in love with Spinderella. I never thought of Salt and Pepper without thinking of you. So who's behind it driving this?
Well, who does it look like behind it driving it?
Well, in the recent interviews, Salt seems a little salty. And Peppa just wants to talk about Peppa. So it seems like it's Salt.
You guys, look, this is not, it's not like geometry. This is very simple. You can see what it is. You can see where it's coming from. They have their name as the bosses. They have said, I am the boss. I make the deals. I sign the checks. If you saw the show, they made it clear who is the boss. So who makes decisions? It's the two of them. And honestly, you guys, all you got to do is just look. You can see it. It's really not that deep. Mm-hmm. It's in your face.
And so now that you said that there was a time period on Love Goals where you opened up with the therapist about how it started chipping away at your self-confidence, Where are you at with it now? I mean, now there's this project out on Lifetime where I started to watch it, and quite honestly, I didn't see that they were getting to the part that included you, because that was really what I wanted to see, and I didn't see that, so I didn't watch it. Where are you at with it now? I mean, now that they have this Lifetime doc, which is part of what your goal was as a group, play out without you, where are you at with it?
I'm good. I like not being in an abusive relationship. I like being confident. I like being encouraged. I surround myself with people that encourage me and bring me up. I have, you know, countless people that support and love me and do not discourage me. And that's what we should be doing. That's what we should have been doing. I don't know, honestly, that the hate and disgusting behavior that's been exhibited towards me is unwarranted. And I really, 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 in my heart, cannot tell you how sorry to you guys, you know, that I am. I wanted more from us. And trust me, I'm getting the short end of the stick. This is not about money. This is not about clout or this is not a publicity stunt.
Isn't it legacy? Isn't it?
My legacy is my baby.
Isn't it what the three of you represented to hip hop, to the culture, to young women, to women in music, to women in general? Isn't that what it's about?
Yeah, that's what it's about. That's what it's about for me.
So the Salt and Pepper's being honored at the 2021 Grammys. How does that happen and not include you when Lifetime achievement for the Recording Academy includes music that you recorded with them?
This is why I have stepped up, and this is why I'm speaking out, because we don't have to be together. We don't have to be together. We have made the decision mutually. They fired me, but it's cool. I'm good with that. Fire me. Because I don't like being abused. But we don't have to be together. But we definitely should acknowledge the work that was put in. And that is on my back. The three of us did that. The three of us had that schedule. Nope, they keep bringing up 87 and what happened before me, before I got there. I can't tell you what happened before me. I don't know. The album that was done before me, and there was another album that I did come in on, but I was being groomed. But that third album has my DNA in it, that fourth album, that fifth album, and anything after that. Salt-N-Pepa has to acknowledge the truth and the fact that their intention may have been to have me as a hired DJ, but their actions said different.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what the consumer bought into was different, right?
Yeah, I say their actions being making sure that I worked. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't mind doing it because I saw the bottom line, you know? But yeah, the consumer, you can't disguise a truth. You're going to tell the people that I wasn't there when I was? This is why the viral attention is happening, because people's memories are being fucked with. Mm-hmm. History is being written right now, and you're okay with rewriting it to satisfy whatever your ego tells you that I did to hurt you. I don't know what that is. There was no issue that should warrant that behavior.
Do you believe that you deserve a Grammy or to be recognized at the Grammys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What I would like to see happen is, regardless of what all is happening, we're going to always have this issue because my name, my likeness is attached to their success. And unless we come up with a plan to figure that out, which that's a settlement was done for the majority of that. But there's still things like these Lifetime Achievement Awards that I should be a part of and that I will continue to pursue.
The Star on Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. I will do my best to pursue that which is due me. That's it. That's it. I can't control what they do. We've seen the activity. We're not blind. I know a lot of that stuff is confusing for people, but trust me, I've been through the confusion because I was confused too. It was manipulation. I feel like it was uncalled for, especially coming from an act that regards in women, you know, that deals in women empowering and girl power and Black girl magic and all of that. Mm. But anyway, I wish I could answer these questions for everybody. I'm as broken about it and disappointed about it, but I have been dealing with this, so I know how this goes with them. It would be a shock to me for them to act differently.
So are these the people that you knew back in the 80s? I mean, or have they just become new people, different people over time?
Who's this? Those girls?
Yeah, the girls. Were they spiteful then? Were they trying to erase you? Was there ever moments where you would get more attention and they would?
This is not something that I felt like I was really getting close to them on a few different occasions. I felt like we were magic when we were on stage. I don't know if you've ever seen our show, but those that have seen it from the beginning will tell you there was magic there. I do feel, however, that they have, I mean, we've had a lot of great times, but they've had this underlying issue and really acted out on it in these past couple of years from this, the fact that I would ask about fixing or defining. I even just wanted my name to be, you know what I'm saying? People kept seeing three people and calling us Salt and Pepper, and they would be like, who's that? It wasn't fair to the new fans that they didn't know who this person was. Mm-hmm. So I made it clear that I wanted to define that with them and I wanted their support on that. And it was like, how do we do that? Why are we going to change our name? We're Salt and Pepper. I didn't ask you to change your name. I'm just saying, like, how do you fix that? How can we justify that? Let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. I didn't have all the answers, but I wanted some kind of acknowledgement there. And I wanted to sit down with what I called my sisters. And I wanted to sit down with these women who consider themselves bosses that would continue to allow me to be, that would continue to just make me feel like I'm nothing, you know? Hmm. I was giving them the opportunity to fix it on various occasions and to define it. And they didn't see fit to do that. So that's not what I'm tolerating in my life right now. Anyway, So
you recently put out a statement when the documentary came out to the fans to let them know why you weren't there and that you were still honoring the women who were acting in the film. And it was a really positively written comment or statement for the public. Weren't you a little, didn't you feel it was insult on injury when they didn't even notify the fans that you weren't going to be a part of it? Like they still expected your fans to show up and support it as well and hope that nobody knew.
That's why I put the statement out, because I needed to be connected to our fans that wasn't sure of what was going on. I was getting tagged. I can't wait to see the biopic. I can't wait to, they tagged me in everything anyway, so I know what's going on. And I'm sure they get tagged. You know, fans may not know And it has to be clarified through us. And me putting out that statement showed exactly how I felt. I felt like to produce a movie or story that regards they tell me that the movie was about their friendship. And I get that because they did have a friendship there. But why not? How are you using the brand that I'm a part of? And why not bring Spinderella in and shed some light on Spinderella so that our fans as a whole would be satisfied? Why are you dissecting the fans? Why are you dissecting that? What? That's a question for them. Mm-hmm. Without all the riddles and the roundabouts, because Spin was here, she was the second DJ, this, that. What does that have to do with anything right now? What about the work that was put in?
Right.
So I want you guys to know that my life is not surrounded by salt and pepper. I need you to understand that I have a career outside of salt and pepper that takes care of me. And that has been taking care of me because I was smart enough to know that this, though I was considering this a priority for me, I knew better. So I built my brand as in Spinderella, and I work from that brand and haven't stopped. Even when salt and pepper stopped, I was building. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have to tell this story. I feel like, you know, writing a book would explain some things because of the scenarios that I will be providing there. And will explain why, like who I am, I just know my intentions were correct. I just know that I had love for the legacy, and I still do. And I'm sorry that this is happening or this is the way that it went. But I did ask for this to be defined and to be handled. And not only did they disregard that, but then they insulted me. They basically tried to eradicate me from, you know, history. That's and true. That is certainly irresponsible on their behalf.
So I have to ask you a question. One thing I always wanted to know, and I've never asked you this privately. There was the video where it was the three of you and Tretch was in there with Peppa. You had a man and mm-hmm. Salt had Tupac, right? Was that mm-hmm. was Tupac?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why did we not see Tupac's face in that video?
Ooh, they were thinking that Tupac's image was a little too rough for Salt and Pepper. Yeah.
And so they just didn't show, they just decided not to show him?
Yeah, they were, and he was furious about that because them not showing him was supposedly benefiting Salt and Pepper's image. That's the take that I got from the inside. But you know, I don't know what take they're given or whatever. But I do recall that being an issue, which is crazy because Pac was like, you know, he stood for something. He stood for something and he spoke, you know, I mean, he was prophetic. He was just a standard that people like, you know, adhered to in hip hop. Like he was like a Bible. And they, you know, I don't know, they wanted the squeaky clean image for Salt and Pepper and Chow.
Why did they use him in the bathtub or wherever he was? Why did they use him in the video? Why did they even have him in there?
Right. And they showed his tattoo. You saw his tattoo. And if that's the case, why was Tretch in it? Because Tretch wasn't the most perfect person either. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I love my brothers.
Tretch was out there with other people's, you know, OPP, we remember. But wait.
Yeah, right. I mean, so, if you,
So what did Tupac say about being excluded? I mean, do you know anything? I mean, how did you know he was upset?
I know his reaction was he wasn't happy about that. I know he had, it had gotten back to us that he wasn't very happy about it. Because he wanted that, I mean, he did the work. He wanted to be seen, and he should have. Hmm.
So it sounds like you and Tupac have a lot in common.
I never thought about that. I never thought about that.
I mean, it just sounds like history repeating itself, right? I mean, you did the work, you showed up, you know, people. Honey,
I tell you this, it's when you hide things, it comes to light. When you try to hide things, have faith, it comes to light. And you just have to, you know, hold your head, because I've been praying about this. I've been like, is this how it's supposed to be? Because I know I'm a good person. I know I didn't do one thing to them girls. I don't know what the hell I would do, but just be. But it's not impossible that someone is irked by you just being, right? Mm-hmm. They just aggravated because you walk in the room. They just aggravated because you could shine regardless, even though you in the background, you still shine somehow. And I never wanted that. But I'm going to continue to be. Don't dim your light for somebody else. Don't dim your light so others can shine. You know what I'm saying? That's what I learned. That's one of the biggest lessons here.
But the crazy part, their light will always be eclipsed by this stain that they're leaving on history by doing this to you, and now learning that this also happened to Tupac, which is crazy, because for me, it just almost shows a pattern, right? That we're going to just use people as long as it benefits us. And then whenever it no longer either benefits us or somehow overshadows us, we will just erase it.
Right. And then when you speak on it or when you protest, you're the bad person. When you protest for the betterment of a situation and you are shut down or you're shunned or you're blacklisted or you're basically belittled and devalued and discredited, it just goes to show that you should go harder. It just goes to show that you should go harder.
So you have a daughter who you raised as a single mother. When you look at her and you look at how you're standing up for yourself, what do you hope that she and other young women are getting from this example?
Stand up, number one. Get your paperwork in order. Be with a team or have a team that you support, that support you. And the reason why I said that you support, because the team that is holding you up needs support too. And that was me. I'm a team member. I'm not salt or pepper. I'm not in the front. I'm in the background. I'm rocking. I'm moving with them. But I didn't get no support from them. Apparently, I wasn't even worth it. So, hey, I really wish that young women learn to value themselves, because perhaps I didn't value myself enough. Maybe I should have said, screw this legacy. Maybe I should have said, screw everything and walk away. However, I didn't. And we got to the places that we got. We reached a success level that we worked for. But is it worth it? For me, I say, yes, it's worth it. Because we will go down in history, even though it's overshadowed, it'll be overshadowed. I just feel like down the line, the music still speaks for itself. There's still a message there. And I was listening to that music while I was performing it. I was listening to the words while we were performing it. I was listening to expression, grasping the ability to express myself, one of our songs. I was listening to Independent, Hope Independent Woman. That was our song. It was called, I think it was called Independent. It's so old. All these songs and messages that we had, even in our shows, I was trying to make that connection. I said, regardless of what's happening with them in our relationship, I know that I believe in it. I believe in these words, and that's what I'm going to get from it. That's what I'm going to take with me. So
what was the journey to rediscovering your self-worth when you felt like they made you lose it?
What it was worth? It was worth everything. It was worth life. It's worth life when you find it. You usually have to go through trauma to get to it, though. Mm-hmm. You have to get to a point. To get to a point of peace, you have to go through some hell and some tornadoes and some all kinds of like roller coaster rides to get there, because you have to learn. I do feel that I have a more of a balance. I am more outspoken. I am getting therapy for me. I feel like decisions that I've made, why would I make those decisions? Why would I be interacting with folk of that nature? Why did I just let those things pass? But think about relations that you've been in that you allowed things, and then you go, well, I allowed it, but what was my purpose? What, like, I just wanted more for us. I wanted this to be I wanted it to be more for us, but justly. And that I don't regret. I don't regret my loyalty, because that's you know, something that most, you know, a lot of people don't have that level of loyalty. But look what's coming out of it for me. I'm cool. I've gone through that. I have come out better. I am of service to women still. I'm uplifting women in everything that I do, in the jobs that I take, in the just a level of love that I have for us, regardless of that happening. That I'm gonna keep going with that, because it was a seed planted in me and I abided by it.
Would you ever go back?
No. I will never go back there.
So you're going to do a book. Do you know what the book is going to be called yet, and when it's going to come out?
Well, the working title is Queen on Decks. Queen on Deck. And we are... We're still writing, because a lot of this that's going on is going in the book. But it's just filled with a lot of things that people don't know that I dealt with. Of course, the relationships, and these most important relationships, and just how life growing up in the industry, how it defined me, how I am. You know, how can I come from the streets of New York in the music industry as a child, like as a kid, and how I made it. And I'm excited about it, because I finally get to use my voice. And I had no idea that people even cared or would care enough. But this truly is a story of Cinderella. My story. I feel that. I feel like my story is like a modern day urbanized version of Cinderella.
Are you going to open up? You know, I've written a book. You've read my book. Are you going to open up and tell it all?
I'm going to tell everything you guys are. I'm going to tell y'all everything that's on my heart to tell. Yes. here it is. I am an open book today. I'm telling things in this book that you guys would not have known otherwise, and you might even be shocked by, for sure. And some inside stuff in these very torrential relationships.
So let me ask you a question. If Salt and Pepper is watching, which I'm sure they will, I mean, Salt just followed me in Clubhouse. I didn't follow her back, but I'm sure she's going to be paying attention. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do a Clubhouse after show chat the night this airs. If they're watching, what would you say to them?
I would say you owe me an apology and you owe the world, your fans, an apology. This is ridiculous. I would say this is ridiculous. And I really am disappointed and thought that you guys really upholded this legacy in its authentic form and would respect it enough to understand why people are so hurt. The fact that you are trying to take away something that people adore by erasing something integral is something that you got to really take a look at yourself. You really have to. I get that you have your intention was to be one thing, but this is way different. This has turned out way different than what you intended. And your hand is on this. Your hand is in this. We have come together and we have made a legacy. We all contributed to it. I am grateful that you guys opened that door for me. But for you to take liberty and make people believe that I wasn't there when I was is hurtful. And I think you need to search yourself for that. And if you want to sit down and talk about it with a mediator and a psychologist, we can do that.
Well, I'll offer to mediate. I'm not a psychologist, but you know, I can get in between some shit, Spin. I just, you know, the crazy part about
I think I'm more along the lines of Ayanla or somebody. I'm thinking along those lines. I'm gonna just let you know what. I think we need to put our differences, because we don't agree on this, and we won't. Hmm. We need to get past that, because there is a legacy, and the legacy is our child. And if we work together to nurture that, guess who wins? You win, I win, and the people win. But you have to respect me in doing that. If you don't respect me, then it won't be done. And you would have shot your own legacy in the foot. You would have killed your own brand unnecessarily.
Hmm. So I guess the last thing, by the way, I do have Iyanla's phone number and I will be texting her in the morning, because I would love to see this happen. I will tell you, you're one of the few people that I know, and I mean this, who's never in drama, who does not like the headlines like this, who I never would have saw being caught. I mean, speaking as a fan from, you know, when I first learned of Salt and Pepper, you know, and Spinderella to now, I would have never expected you to be here. I mean, you guys are just such an important.
I didn't want to, but you know, this is something I've been dealing with for a long time. And you, even when we were hanging out, I've been dealing with this. But it's to me, I always
You didn't even tell me that you were going through all that.
Because I'm a good-hearted person, and I wanted us to get past those. I never wanted to be this. I always saw something more positive for us. I always saw us growing up and figuring it out. And so I kept coming back. I wanted to sit down and define it. I asked them, but they weren't with it. And this was the last straw for me. That was their actions are so disrespectful that I just don't know what to say like to that. I'm so glad that I have gotten past it though.
So let's leave with this. If to all the Salt and Pepper fans, more specifically the Spinderella fans who are watching, who have not heard from you directly until now, what would you say to them?
stand up for yourself, speak out. I had to do it. I'm sorry that this happened the way that it did, but I'm not sorry for why I had to speak out. I feel like it was important. And it's a healthy conversation to start with, to mend. But it takes both parties to do that. I just feel like, you know, we, in order to move past this, I'm going to keep, you know, honoring the original concept. I'm going to keep honoring the messages that we put out in our music. Please don't stop buying the music, because, you know, even beyond us, it means something. And there's going to be more to come from me.
Well, I can't wait to watch and see what that is. Spin, you know, I love you. I appreciate you. You show me love before Hollywood Unlocked, which lets me know that this relationship we have is real. So I appreciate you. And I'm glad that you're sticking up for yourself, because, you know, I think that people do prey on people who are nice people. And you've always been known, at least to me and many other people that know you, to be a caring, loving person and always filled with joy. So I just want to see you given the respect due. I'm a member of the Recording Academy. I don't see you not being honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award, knowing that you've dedicated your life to this group. And the star in Hollywood, to me, would just not mean anything if you weren't a part of that. So I hope that you're given the respect that you deserve. More importantly, the respect that you worked hard for. And, you know, I always love you. We always got you back over here.
I appreciate you. Thanks for this platform. And I'm so proud of you, Jason. This is not meant to trash. I just want to let everybody know this is not the intention is not to trash anybody, but it is to speak my truth. And if that is what I have to do, that's what I'm going to continue to do. To call out that which is not true, and to put in the light the facts. That's the goal for me. And I'm going to continue to do that. And thank you, Jason.
Anytime. And so we'll be on Clubhouse talking about this after the show. So if you're watching, go to Clubhouse. Bye, Spin.
Bye, babe. Bye, y'all.
All right, look, that was a great show. And make sure you keep coming back, because we got all types of amazing interviews and topics that are going to make you go crazy.
Uh-huh, that's right. That means like, subscribe, do everything you need to do to make sure you stay up to date with what we got going on.
And ladies, stay tuned in, because you know I have your back.
And listen, make sure that you're commenting below, because even though I say I don't read it on the show, that's all I do when it's over. Peace.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price, exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.